Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Sunday night. For some of you in other parts of the world, it's Monday morning. While others, it is Monday evening. But no matter what time it is, I want to welcome you to another God's Word of Man broadcast. Thank God for the door He has opened, giving us opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. I want to give you this phone number, which is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number. Call me. I'm on the broadcast right now at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open throughout all times during the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing over the air, just contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com, at G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So, without further ado, for those of you following on Blog Talk Radio, you know how we do this. We open up with prayer before we go into the lesson today. Amen. So, let us pray. We're going to come from the 91st Psalms as we pray. Amen. And let us petition the Lord together as we listen to His Spirit and go into the Word of God and seek truth. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Your Word said that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord God, I say unto You that You are my refuge and my fortress. You are my God. Father, in You will I trust. And surely, Lord God, You shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You shall cover me with Your feathers. And Lord, under Your wings shall I trust. Heavenly Father, Your truth shall be my shield and buckler. For I will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that waits at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. For only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made You my Lord, who is my refuge and my Most High God, my habitation. Therefore, Lord, shall no evil befall me, and neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. For, Lord, You shall give Your angels charge over me to keep me in all Your ways, and they shall bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. And by the authority given me of Jesus Christ, I shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall I trample under my feet. Because, Lord, You have set Your love upon me. Therefore, Lord, You will deliver me. You will set me on high because You have known my name. And I shall call upon You, Lord, and You will answer me. You will be with me in trouble. You will deliver me and honor me. And with long life will You satisfy me and show me Your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be the Lord. Thank God for another blessed day. Jesus truly is Lord and He is God. There is none greater, neither will there ever be anyone greater than Him. Amen. Tonight's title, message tonight, and the way things look in this will be the probably the last thing on the Masonic order that I'm going to report on tonight. Amen. And I might get the whole thing tonight. If not, I would do a part two. But the title is Masonic Order, the letter G. The Masonic Order, the letter G. I want to talk about tonight, you know, you see them with these symbols on their vehicles, on certain tags on their vehicles. They wear it on their shirts, hats, you name it. And we want to talk about what does that letter G stand for. Now, before we go into that, I want to go into a few scriptures. Amen. Praise be to God. And this is for a reason that I will disclose to you after I get finished reading the scripture. The first one we're going to look at is Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Glory to God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. this is the word of the Lord, not only to the natural Israel at that time, but that same word goes to even the spiritual Israel today, who is also represented by born-again believers in Christ, those who are born again and saved. Amen. And verse 3 said in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. Jesus Christ is supposed to be the only God in our lives that we will worship, praise, be obedient to, you name it. Live for is supposed to be Jesus, the one and true living God. And God said, you should have no other gods before him. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to read verses 35 to verse 37. Matthew chapter 22. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 to verse 37. The word of God says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. So Jesus said that we are to love the Lord thy God with all. Everybody say that, with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. The word is all there. He didn't say with some of your heart, some of your soul, or some of your, with all. So if it's all, that means that's he has the love for him has to be greater. The love for him has to be first. Okay. So we understand from what we read in Exodus and in what we read in Matthew chapter 22 that we are not to have any other gods before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's supposed to be a true living God. And he is the one we're supposed to love with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. Okay. So the greatest portion of the love come from us supposed to be from God. Now, we are to love our families, but God's love has to be a greater portion than family, friends, you name it, material things, whatever, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Now, thank God for that word. Let's go to Acts chapter 14. Now, Acts chapter 14, I want to look here. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 14, we're going to look at verses 9 to verse 15. Acts chapter 14, verses 9 to verse 15. And there was this man, this place where Paul was preaching, he was impotent in his feet, he was crippled, and he had never walked. Verse 9 said, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had the faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. And then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. Hallelujah. Did you hear that, what Paul said? Thank you, Jesus. Which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. So even Paul said to them, you need to turn to the living God. And you're not to have no other god before him. These people was into the act of worshiping other gods, especially Jupiter and Mercurius, that reminds you of astrology and the horoscoping and all that thing, where they believe in that and worship other gods, these other planets. But Paul was letting them know, and he was in line with the scripture that thou shalt have no other god before the Lord, and we are to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And because they saw this miracle that was done, basically all Paul did was preach the gospel and gave the command of faith, they started looking at Paul and Barnabas as being gods. Okay. That's why another note I want to throw in there, you got to watch people worshiping you when God uses you. Amen. Praise be to God. So we have looked at those three right there. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Once again, you know, you're like, okay, why are you going in these scriptures? Well, I'm going to explain to you when I get finished reading them. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm going to look at verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. And the word of God said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, it said, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And that word touch in the regular Greek word, it means to have relations with or having sexual relations with. It says good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. Now, the word fornication is unlawful sex between two people who are not married. Okay, that's fornication. And it's unlawful because God's word is against it, okay? And so what this shows here, since this is the defining of what fornication is, what the scripture shows here, is it shows that sex, now God had ordained sex in the right way, okay? And so what we see in the scripture here, from what God used in Paul, that this shows that sex can be performed in the wrong manner, according to the word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? It has to be performed according to this order. And according to his order, as we see in these verses here, you have to be married to do it. Okay? That's why he said to avoid fornication. And so if sex can be performed out of order, then it also stands to reason that it can be displayed out of order. Right? If it can be performed out of order, it can be displayed out of order. Okay? See some, you know, like, for example, through your adult-rated movies and, you know, and people doing their nudity and all that stuff, it can be displayed out of order. Now, keep that in mind. Okay? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Thank God for the word of truth, Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 19 to verse 21. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to verse 21. And the word of God says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I noticed some of the things he mentioned, adultery, fornication, we already just talked about that, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and revelings. Now, adultery is unlawful sex between two people not married to each other. Okay? They could be married to other people, or it can be one is married, one's not, and they engage in sexual, but it's unlawful. Why? Because the law of God speaks against it. and does it make it legal? Okay. Now, another word mentioned in that list was uncleanness. Now, when you read Romans chapter 1, you will see that one of the things that falls in the category of uncleanness, which is the work of the flesh, is homosexuality. Okay? Homosexuality. And then it mentions also in this list revelings. Now, revelings is wild parties. And we know wild parties, it don't have to be just dealing with drunken parties, but it can be dealt with orgies. And many of y'all know what orgies is. That's, just people just having sex all over everywhere, a bunch of folks getting together, and doing that. Okay, revelings. Lasciviousness is mentioned in this list, which is a lack of sexual restraint. Okay? And you got people that, get to a point where they do these, even these sexual gestures with their mouth. Now, I'm not trying to be vulgar when I talk about this, but I'm getting to a point here, because tonight the study is the Masonic Order, the letter G. And we want to talk about what that letter G stands for. Now, as we have went through these scriptures, amen, I want to give you this research, because remember in this series we've been talking about how the Masonic Order is so secretive. And actually one of their leaders tell you that if you, especially at the lower levels, you're lied to. And the Masonic Order, for some things, you got it's layers of stuff told about a particular thing. And you have to peel back all the layers to get to the truth. Okay, this letter G. Now, some of the lower level degrees is told that the letter G stands for God. Some are told that it stands for geometry, just like they deal with this man named Euclid, who was supposed to be, quote, the father of geometry. So sometimes some of them tell you, say, well, if you're a lower level Mason, well, that G stands for God. Others say it stands for geometry, which the supreme, as they said, the supreme architect of the universe used to design this wonderful cosmos. Now, there was an occultist, a 33rd degree Mason named Arthur Waite. And Arthur Waite had quoted another 33rd degree Mason named Eliphas Levi. And in that, he was telling us that the letter G stands for Venus, and that Venus symbol is a lingam, a stylized phallus. Now, you say, well, what is a phallus? A phallus is a man's private part, okay? And see, what I want you to understand is that one of the meanings of this G symbol is dealing with sex. And so here, once again, and I want to quote this again, a well-known Masonic 33rd degree occultist, so that means he dealt with some witchcraft, who quoted Eliphas Levi, who was also another 33rd degree, and in that telling us that the letter G stands for Venus, and that Venus symbol is a lingam or a stylized phallus for a man's private part. Now, Masonic author, Arthur Edward Waite, wrote a book called The Mysteries of Magic. It's titled The Mysteries of Magic, A Digesting of the Writings of Eliphas Levi, on page 217. The greatest Masonic author of all time, Albert Pike, agrees with this. He wrote a book called Morals and Dogma, and he called what he said the monad, number one, is the male, and the duad, number two, is female. Their sexual union produces the triad, number three. Okay? Now, this is what Albert Pike was saying, which is represented by the letter G, the generative principle. Do you get that? Now, this is what some of their higher-up Masonic leaders are saying, because the truth is coming out. Now, once again, especially if you're coming through the lower level, And, you know, you say, well, what do this G represent? Once again, you're going to get all this. You're going to get geometry. You're going to get God and all that. But when you peel back the layers, because remember what Albert Pike has said that, and to paraphrase it, that you are purposely given misinterpretation, or let me put it to you blank or bluntly, you are purposely lied to because you're not a sage or elect, and so therefore, you know, you're not worthy of the truth because you have not proven yourself worthy, okay? It's when you go real high up into the Masonic order, you start going up in the degrees, that's when you really start finding out who and what you're worshiping. And you really start finding out the truth about these symbols, okay? Hallelujah. Now, the term generative principle is another code for the sex act, okay? Do you get that? So that G is dealing with the sex act. Hallelujah. Glory. Shatabuho. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, people don't understand. God said that was done and the dark is going to be brought to the light. And every type of hidden stuff, see, just when man, or first off, just when the devil and man who he worked through think they got everything covered, God has a way of pulling the cover off, okay? And see, God wants you, who is the Christian that became a Mason, to know the truth about this G sign, okay? What does it mean, okay? He wants you to know the truth. And see, one of the terms of it is called a generative principle, which is another code for the sex act. Now, the sex act in columns. Now, you know, columns, you picture columns like these two long poles, okay? They call them columns. And in dealing with that, there is a, you will see with the, in connection with masonry, broken and unbroken ones, okay? And that represents something. Because both Freemasonry and the Eastern Star uses the broken columns. In connection with Freemasonry, when you see them having the picture of these columns, that represents something also, okay? This symbol in Freemasonry, it, you know, it has many levels of meaning. Now, the initiative, or the one who just, you know, joining the Masonic order, one of the things he'd be told about this column is that it signifies an early death. Later on, he'll learn that it represents gods, little G. Joseph Fort Newton wrote a book called The Builders, A Story and Study of Masonry. Talks about, he said, but later on, the Mason learns another meaning to it. He said, in Egyptian mythology, and if we go to Egyptian mythology, because remember what I'm going to talk to you about, I talked to you about in another section I did earlier on the Masonic order about Isis and Osiris, okay? And see, now Joseph Newton also is going to talk to you concerning this symbolism in dealing with these columns also. So it is also dealing with these gods. And so in Egyptian mythology, Isis is sometimes, and sometimes with the Masonic order, they have a picture of this woman weeping over a broken column. Now, this woman's supposed to be Isis. Now, for those of you that hadn't heard, you know, that's one of the things they teach about the Egyptian gods. And they teach about Isis and Osiris. And they're supposed to have been, quote, gods. But these are demon gods. But anyhow, Isis and Osiris supposed to have been brother and sister. And they had sexual relations and had a child. Well, they had another brother named Set. And this is all they told. And Set killed Osiris. Okay? Now, I want to finish. So in Egyptian mythology, in dealing with this column, and when you see this picture of this woman weeping beside those columns and it's broken, that woman is Isis, who conceals the body of her husband, Osiris. Now, you'll see on this picture they have sometimes someone standing behind her as she's crying and weeping. That one standing behind her name is Horus, okay? And he's supposed to be pulling what is called ambrosia. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. A-M-B-R-O-S-I-A over her hair. This is one of the pictures that is associated with the Masonic order, okay? Isis was both virgin and mother, and she is pictured as a beautiful woman, okay? We've been at these columns. Once again, this is a picture where you see where, when it's associated with the Masonic order, and especially the order of the Eastern Star, which is the woman version of the Masonic order. And you see this picture they have of this woman crying and next to these columns, and these columns broken, and this person standing behind her pouring out some ambrosia over her hair. Once again, that woman is Isis, and she's weeping over the broken columns, which conceals the body of her husband. In these columns, supposed to have the body of her husband, Osiris, who's also supposed to be her brother. Now, once again, the one that was standing behind her on the picture, name is Horus, okay, and he's pulling abrasion over her hair. And on this picture, she is pictured as a beautiful woman weeping, okay? Now, another thing that the broken column represents is a missing member of Osiris, the phallus, P-H-A-L-L-U-S, or his private part, okay? Yes, you heard me right, okay? Edward Ronayne, hallelujah, who talks about this also, and let you know, we come to understand that Horus, the one that is behind her struggling in hell, see, he's a representation, another name for Satan, and Isis being one of his cohort. Now, it is said that Osiris' body supposed to have been dismembered by Seth. Remember that I told you the other brother that killed him. He's supposed to have dismembered Osiris' body, including his phallus or his private part, which was cut into many sections. Really? I know some of y'all saying, say, well, what kind of stuff it is? But that's the overall meaning of this G, the generative principle, and these columns that you see associated with, you know, Isis, and associated with Masonic order, which represent Isis and Osiris, okay? And like I said, these different authors who's in a Masonic order, like, once again, Edward Ronayne and all of them, Joseph Fort Newton and all of them, begins to unveil to you the truth, okay? And see, they also believe that Isis and Osiris were the active and passive principles of the universe, commonly symbolized by the generative parts of man and women. You see that? So it said they representing the generative parts of a man and a woman. So Osiris represents the man private part, and Isis is supposed to represent the woman private part. And see, all this under the generative principle, which is in that letter G, okay? The broken column represents the male and female part, because you got to focus on the bottom, not just the top, okay? The bottom show the phallic or the man private part, which upright column, is inserted to the circular base. You know, at the bottom of the columns is a circular base. You have the one column that goes down through it, and the bottom is circular base at the bottom. And this is where the long pole, like, fit in through there. Now, once again, I'm not trying to be vulgar. This is what their overall sign of these columns mean, overall spelling the G for the generative principle, which is another code, once again, for the sex act. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the bottom show the phallic or the upright column, which is supposed to be the private part of the man, inserted to the circular, the bottom part, which is the female part, the vulva. Do you get that? See that, you know, it's hidden stuff in these things that all these secret societies have, okay? But once again, they don't come out and tell you what it is until you have to go on up in the ranks. You understand? You have to go on up in the ranks. They ain't coming out telling you what it means, what it represents, until you go up in the ranks, okay? The column is broken, symbolizing Osiris' private part that been cut into many sections. Do you hear that? That's what it symbolizes, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Glory. He kalabasha. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank God for his spirit. I said, I thank God for his spirit. See, this is the stuff that's hidden. This is why, one of the reasons why the Masonic Order is so secretive. Now, once again, if you are an initiative and just been inducted as a member, and especially on the lower level, in an apprentice and all that, you're going to be told that G stands for either God or geometry, but you're not going to be told the real truth. But when you start really going high up in the ranks, that's when you really come to understand what that G really represents. Amen. And see, therefore, as we study in the scriptures and saw that if sex can be performed out of order, then it can be displayed wrong. If sex can be performed wrong, it can be displayed wrong. And here it is displayed wrong. So some of you that are Christians who have become Masons and you got these on your car tags and got on your hat, that's what you're displaying. Amen. And see, God told us to abstain from the appearance of evil. And we don't supposed to be displaying that. You know, you might well just get you a shirt and have a picture of people naked on it. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but that's what you're doing. But see, what you're displaying is something that is hidden, okay? And see, many times when we don't do our due diligence, yes, we all can do or say something that we're not aware of that has a deeper meaning that's not good. And so this is why God has permitted this or opened the door for me to speak this about what this G really represents. Now, it even go a little deeper as far as representing Baphomet, which is Satan himself, okay? But now tonight, I'm giving you on this part that it deals also with the sex act. And you see with Baphomet, the picture of Baphomet, which is the head of a goat, but he got breasts like a woman. It's like he got a man and a woman body parts together. You understand that? And see, that's what the Masonic Order do. So that's why the Masonic Order exalts the sex act, and they keep showing the sex act between a man and a woman. That's what they're displaying, okay? Hallelujah. See, when God ordained and appointed sex, it was to be done in private between a husband and wife. That's it. See, if going all out in the open, I don't care if you're husband and wife, going out there doing it all out in the open is not appropriate, and it's not right in the sight of God. You understand that? So therefore, but in the Masonic Order, by you wearing this G with your hats on your shirt and putting it on your vehicles, you're displaying the sex act. That's what you're displaying, okay? Jesus, hallelujah. And see, you know, Satan doesn't want nothing promoted in the order of God. He wants you to do something out of order of God, okay? When God says something needs to be private, he wants you to do it in open, okay? Amen. He wants you to do stuff out of order. When God says sex ought to be in marriages, no, he wants you to meet somebody, just go ahead and have it. You understand what I'm saying? He's the little G God of confusion and disorder. That's what he is, okay? Hallelujah. And so this is what is promoted in this G symbol. It's the generator principle, which is another code for the sex act, okay? And this is what they are promoting. So when you have that G, Christian, and you really need to hear this, that's what you're promoting, the sex act, okay? Hallelujah. And see, God didn't call us to do that, amen? Hallelujah. He didn't call us to do that. You know, even though you got people today who are professing to be Christians, both men and women are, quote, as they say, showing their sexuality. And one of the biggest things they're doing it in is being improperly dressed. You got men that claim to be Christians. They're wearing these button-up shirts, and it's not buttoned up all the way. and it's showing their chest and all that, and their chest hairs and all this stuff. And then if other than that, someone may work out, put on a little tank top, you know, and all this stuff, you know, trying to show off, trying to show the sexuality. And then women, oh, my God, men and the women, Lord, it's either what they're putting on is either too short, too tight, or way too revealing, okay? But at the same time, you're talking about how you are a Christian. Well, you're a Christian that's, you know, flaunting your sexuality in that way. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some things as a man and woman that we're different in that we do to show that you're a man or woman. But you can also, once again, display something out of order, okay? Out of order. And that's what happens in this inappropriate dressing. We're displaying our sexuality, in a sense, out of order to promote lust, to get, quote, attention, all of that, you name it, okay? And God is not on the cheerleading squad when we're doing that. He's not cheering you on and say, go, boy, go, or go, girl, go. He's not doing that on the squad. I'm sorry. He don't join that squad. He didn't even put in an application to work for that squad. He ain't no cheerleader. He ain't cheering nothing like that on. Amen? Praise be to God. So when you join an organization that promoting the sexual act, that's not of God. Because God didn't set up. Now, we are to tell people in the word what the words say concerning that. But we're not out just to be just going out promoting sexual acts. That's not the primary goal that we as a church have in commission is to preach the gospel, to get souls saved, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And so the symbolism of this G, once again, is the generator principle. Another code, once again, for the sex act, okay? Hallelujah. Albert Mackey, 33rd degree Mason, stated that the column, and this is one of the higher Masons once again, that the column is the phallus symbol, an imitation of the male generative organ, in his book called A Manual of the Lodge, page 56, year 1870. And he also states this in The Symbolism of Freemasonry, page 60. Okay? Hallelujah, glory. Edabaha Shaka. Ooh, glory. I sense the Spirit of the Lord witness to me to tell this, and I thank God for his Spirit. Amen. I thank God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for his Spirit. Because listen, to those of you who are Christians and have become Mason, I'm not trying to make a joke out of this. I'm not trying to treat it like this is something serious. And God has ordained such a time as this. And once again, remember, Brother Nate is not the only one talking on this. There's other Christians that are speaking on this too, okay? So Brother Nate is not the only one. But God has appointed a time like this for you to hear this, Christian that became a Mason. You know, perhaps maybe you were just skimming along the blog to internet radio and you come across this broadcast. Hallelujah. God has ordained it, okay? Some of you may have been listening as I've been doing the series on this. And, you know, once again, I told you, I said, hey, listen, you can go and ask the Lord Jesus. All this I'm giving you, I'm not telling you, say, don't you ask God nothing. You better just take what I said. Brother Nate has not said that to you, not on no broadcast. Have I ever told you that? What I'm giving to you, Jesus is alive and well. You can go ask him about it. You can take the information I've given you back to him. Because once again, I know some of you would say, Brother Nate, this stuff you're talking about, I ain't never heard. Since I've been a Mason, I ain't never heard or seen it. Therefore, you have to be lying. Well, the first thing I say to you, when you say you never heard or seen it, I tell you I believe you. Because once again, going back to what Albert Pike said, okay, you're giving misinterpretation, okay, false interpretation, you're purposely lied to, Okay? So at some point, they'll tell me what level of Masonic or Mason you on. Okay? And yeah. Because as you go up in the Masonic order and get up to the high levels and all that, once again, that's when you start learning who and what you really worship. Now, I had heard from years that the highest degree I heard from years in the Masonic order was the 33rd. But there was another man who has become a Christian now. His name Bill, and Lord, I wish I could pronounce his last name, Slobin. But anyhow, he was an ex-Mason, 33rd. Well, actually, he was high. In fact, he the first one I've heard tell that is actually around 96 or 97 degrees, not just 33. It's 97. That's real high. And he let you know, you especially going to be doing some performing witchcraft when you go up high in those higher degrees, okay? But see, some of you in the lower level Masonic order, you don't know that. And see, what the Mason did, they painted this pretty picture to you that they do all good, okay? And especially when they see to you the type that don't search none, they know if they can present this all good picture to you, they ain't got to worry about you searching up none the bottom. You're just going to accept it. And that's what has happened with some of you. You just accepted it because they spoke the sweet nothings in your ear, or they show you a look good picture. And because you did not follow up or search this out, you accepted it. And they went as far as to tell you that this is of God, and you accepted it. Amen. But see, I thank God that there have been some pastors who have renounced Masonry and come out of it. Amen. And I thank God for that, because they said, hey, I was in it, and I saw the truth about it, and I got out of it. I got away from it, okay? I had to repent and come out of it. And I believe some more is going to come out of this Masonic order. I do believe it. Some more is going to come out. Amen? Glory to God. So, I thank God for just the opportunity to do this and be able to report on this series. And I'll tell you something. That's not all the things about Masonry that you can report on, but that's just some of the things I have reported on. Man, it's other things, okay? But once again, Brother Nate is not the only one who is doing or has done this research and giving this information to you, the listener. I'm not the only one. But see, the Lord wants his people delivered. And he has been sending Elijah. And in one of the messages, Jesus had Elijah to tell his people to repent and come clean from the powers of falsehood and deceit. Well, guess what? The Masonic order falls in the category of falsehood and deceit, because deception is practiced in the organization real bad, and get this, on purpose, okay? On purpose. See, it's bad enough when any of us make a mistake. But it's worse when you, quote, purposely doing something, okay? And so this secret society, this organization, purposely misleads you, purposely deceive you, until you come one of those real high-up Masons in the Masonic level, is when the truth still really start coming forward unto you about who or what you're worshiping. And see, the higher up you get in that thing, see, the more hope that Satan can have on you, okay? Now, the man named Bill, and like I said, I don't know if I pronounced his last name right. It's Schloenbin. I think that's how you pronounce it. But anyhow, he was high up. I think he went up to the 90-something degrees. But he talked about how he was doing the witchcraft and all kinds of stuff they were doing. He really speaks about it. And see, I thank God for him coming out with that truth. Yeah, because God, see, hey, listen, God is delivering the atheists, and now he's no more being an atheist. He's saved. God delivering folks who were so deep in that Masonic order, committing all that witchcraft. God has delivered them and using them to expose the secret works of darkness. Yeah, God is in that business, people. He's in that business. So if you are in the Masonic order and you thinking that all these secrets is going to be kept secret. I'm here to tell you, not so. In fact, a lot of these things that you made the oath to not tell, you can find it in books. It's displayed for public open. People can order and get the books and get on it. So you make an oath, you know, in a sense for nothing, putting your life on the line when these things is even displayed in books. Amen. So that is the key to that. That's the thing. And like I said, this is the end of the research, and I wanted to give you, like I said, doing these series I did on the Masonic Order, give you some information about it. Once again, it's up to you. You can take it to the Lord, or you don't have to. It's up to you. My job is only to give you the research, the scriptures, and to point you to Christ. And once again, it's not my job to worry about whether you're going to accept it or not. And once again, I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm just being straight, because many of people have went to an early grave because they have worried themselves to death concerning other people, whether, you know, they're going to accept it or not. Now, we can have a concern and take that concern to God in prayer. But once we take that concern to God in prayer, that's where we need to leave it. Walking around worry about it, you know, it's not going to do us any good. In fact, it's going to harm us. Because you got to remember, people have what is free moral agency, their own free will. And there's nothing you could do about it, nothing God could do about it. And I know you, God? Yeah, because God honors his word, and God is not going to take you against your free will. So if by your free will you say that I don't want to accept this and I'm not going to accept this, I'm going to remain in the Masonic order, I'm going to be faithful to it and all that, then you know what? God said, okay, you're going to suffer the consequences. And there are consequences that comes with being in the Masonic order, because this secret society is going to be one of the secret societies with this Babylon spirit that's going to get hit with plagues. Amen. And if you want to stay connected to it, guess what? You know, you got people that want to stay connected to sin for stuff, and still expect when the reaping comes because of the sin, still expect God to keep them, to save them, or deliver them out. No, if God is giving you the word and giving you a chance to repent and come out of it and you don't, then it's going to hit you, because he gave you the warning. And what else God can do? You want God to make you? Well, he ain't going to do that, because he'll be violating his own word. He's not going to make you. Got to freely accept this thing. Freely come out of this. Amen? Praise be to God. Thank God for his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of thy precious Son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord, and that there is none greater, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to go into the word of God. Father, I pray that everyone that was listening was touched by this message. I pray that it will stir up their heart in the direction of you, that it will cause them to confess and repent in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we will give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to end this message and this series on this note. For those of you who have come to the knowledge of truth and you is in the Masonic order, and you say, hey, Brother Nate, the Lord witnessed to me that this is true what you're telling. I made a mistake. I messed up. What do I do? How do I get out of it? Well, this is what you do. First, you confess and you say, Lord, I acknowledge that I sinned when I joined the Masonic order. And then you repent. You say, Lord, I have a change of mind about it now. And Lord God, I regret joining it. And I would turn away from it. And then you renounce it. You say, I break my connection to it, my allegiance to it right now in the name of Jesus. I renounce it. It is evil and it's not of God. And through that, after that, you say, Lord, I ask that you forgive me for this act. And I thank you for forgiving me. And then after that, you say, I command every demon, and every devil that came in my life through me joining this Masonic order to leave now in the name of Jesus. I command you to go. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. And now if you've done that, you are free. You are free. And don't go back to none of those meetings and get involved in stuff that is connected to them. Stay free. Stay in your word. Stay praying. And you'll see God even move in a greater way. And for those of you that's in it and you say, hey, I'm not saved, and I believe you're right, what do I do? Well, I said, well, first thing you need to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I come before you tonight. I repent of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe, Jesus, you were raised from the dead for me. You said, whosoever shall call upon your name shall be saved. And I thank you for saving me right now in Jesus' name. Amen. And once you've done that right now, you are saved. And now you go through the act of deliverance where you say, Lord, I admit that I sinned when I joined the Masonic order. I have a change of mind about it now. I regret joining, and I would turn away from it. I renounce it in Jesus' name. I break my connection to it in the name of Jesus. I declare it right now to be evil as I renounce it. And I command every demon and every devil that came in my life through this joining the Masonic order to leave. And, Lord, I ask that you forgive me in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you've done that, guess what? You're free. And once again, you're saved and you're free. Don't go back into things that is connected to the Masonic order. Don't go to the meetings. Don't be paying the dues and all that. You have renounced it. Walk in freedom. Amen. So once again, I thank God for all you that have been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word of Man broadcast. And don't forget tomorrow, Lord say the same, Brother Daniel Rogers should be on by, I think, 4 or 5 o'clock tomorrow evening. And tomorrow night at 7, Brother Emmanuel Murphy will come with a broadcast at 7 o'clock. Look for the advertisements. Amen. So once again, thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word of Man broadcast. May God bless you, and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Now, how many of you know that Jesus reigns?